Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
Matthew 6:33. I was driving down the road this week, and I was worshiping to a song called Waymaker. I don't know who wrote that, but I know who made it very popular would be World Harvest Church. And I talked to Pastor Parsley via Twitter, and he responded. I said, you've got to get Dominion Camp Meeting Music on iTunes, because I hate ripping it off of YouTube and having to do it that way. And so I was worshiping God, and I was just, you know, it's hard to worship when you're driving 70 miles an hour down the road. It's hard. It's hard to keep it between the lines. But I was worshiping, and God dropped this verse in my spirit, because how many of you know worship is seeking? It's seeking after God. And so Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So what do we seek? The kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and all things shall be added unto you. And he actually uses the adjective there, these things. And so we got to study out to know what these things are. You may be seated. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, what are you chasing? Turn to your neighbor and just ask him, what are you chasing? Everybody chases something. For some of us, we chase money. Others chase fame. Others chase the opposite sex. Some chase the same sex. Some chase opportunity and job. Some chase God. And when I say chase, a friend of ours, Pastor Tommy Tenney, wrote a book 25 years ago, I guess, called The God Chasers. And just so we're all on the same page, when he wrote that book and while I'm preaching on what are you chasing, we're not talking about a God that is running from us to be elusive. We're talking about a God that is leading us into all righteousness, leading us into all truth, and leading us into the promise, the breakthrough, the blessing that his word said that we can have. How many of you know that sometimes you're going to have to follow God in a different way? Sometimes you're going to have to follow God to a different place. And so we all chase things. We have all been chased. I'm sure you've heard the mom advice, and I've seen it on TV, and my mother used to say it when we were next door at the Family Life Center, and I grew up in that building. That's where we used to have church, and I would be running around the church building after church, and she would say, Brandon Cody, you always know when the middle name's you, she means business, Brandon Cody, quit your running. And I would say, but they're chasing me, and then the mom advice would be, anybody know what that advice is? If you stop running, they will quit chasing you. To which I would reply, you're exactly right. And then when they catch me, they will beat me. And so we've all chased things. We've all been chased. A lot of times when we're looking for something that we are missing in our lives, we begin to search. We begin to seek. We begin to look in various and different places for those things. And I remember, especially when my kids were younger, they would come to Mandy and myself, and they would say, I can't find my shoes. And I would say, well, go look again. And they would literally walk up the stairs to their bedroom, come back down in 10 seconds and say, I couldn't find it. And you'd go in there, and it would be in plain sight, meaning they didn't want to find it. They wanted you to come find it. And a lot of times we mistake, listen to what I'm going to say here, we mistake looking for seeking. Looking doesn't require anything but a gaze or a glance. But seeking requires everything. Because sometimes seeking requires your hands to turn over some things. Sometimes seeking will cause you, just like in the New Testament, in the Gospels, talking about the woman who had 10 coins and lost ones, and she had to sweep her house. And see, sweeping and working and moving and shifting furniture around to find the missing part, that is seeking. So a lot of us, we confuse, and we think those words are synonymous, and we say, God, I have sought, and God said, you didn't seek, you looked. And just like a six-year-old kid, when we come to God and say, God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. And I've done my part, and I've sought, and I've worked, and I've been diligent, and all of that. He said, you did not do any of those things. All you did was you looked around you and said, God, I don't see your hand. God, I don't see the favor. God, I don't see the blessing. And many times in our lives, we are going to have to quit looking with just our eyes, and we're going to have to put our feet to work. We're going to have to put our hands to work. We're going to have to put our mouth to work. We're going to have to put our brain to work. And we cannot put it all off on the church, and we cannot put it off on a bishop or an apostle or a prophet. When the rubber meets the road on Monday and bishops and apostles and prophets aren't at your job, you're going to have to be able to say, God, more than looking for you today, I'm going to seek you with everything that I have. God, more than just praying over my food at lunch, God, I'm going to shut the door and lock it to my office. I'm going to go out in my car, God, and for the next 15 minutes, God, I'm going to seek you, God, because when you seek him, he will be found. And so when people say, where is God? That is an indictment against themselves. The Twin Towers fall 16 years ago, and people say, where was God? I would not be making the statement that I don't know where God is. Because for me to make the statement, where is God, it means that I quit seeking. Because if I seek after God every day of my life, I will always know where he is. And he's never far off. He's always close enough to me that when I fall, he can help me get back up. And when I call to him, he answers. So the question is not, where is God? The question becomes, where are you? Where are we in the process of seeking after God? Not looking to him, and looking at God is a start, but seeking after God is where God is trying to get us. Because I know the Bible says we look to the hills from which cometh our help. We look at the hills, but we seek the help. And a lot of times we are seeking where we should be looking, and we are looking where we should be seeking. You say, preach on that a little while, Pastor. I'm glad you said that, because I will. We seek God, or I should say this. We look to God for relationships, and then we seek men and women for those relationships. When we should, at the very most, be glancing at people, and then when God says, there's one that you need to have a relationship, when we seek God, we hear his voice clearly, but a lot of times we get the process mixed up, and where we should be looking at people and seeking God, we seek people and we look at God. Case in point, Sunday mornings, if this is the only time you praise and worship, I'm glad that you praise and worship God at least one day a week, but this is, if you only praise and worship and pray to God on Sunday, all you're doing is coming to look at him. Behold him in all of his glory. And we sing hallelujah, and we sing all now behold the Lamb, and we sing breakthrough, and you see people running, and you see people falling out, and we clap, and we say, my God, I feel the Spirit of God, and man, what a service we had today, and Bishop was on point with his preaching, and all the altars were full, and then we go back out into the world, and we live like the world, we talk like the world, we do the same things the world do. Why? Because we looked at God, we didn't seek him, because someone who seeks God is going to find God, and when you find God, you are going to realize that I cannot seek God and be with God if I continue to live and act like everybody else. I'm here to tell you, when you got saved, some things should have changed. Out of the abundance, the mouth speaks. That's why when I'm around people that are profane, I wonder if they had the same experience that I had. Come on, don't act too sanctified now. You know those five or six words that you used to say. And then you get saved, and then when you get mad, it comes out, and you say, oh, I'm still working on that. Why are you still working on it? That's a heart issue. That's not a mouth issue. And if you seek God, heart issues become right. And where your heart is, your mouth will follow. See, when you look, that is a physical thing. But when you seek, it's a spiritual thing. We have way too many people trying to get spiritual results doing physical things. And we are looking instead of seeking. I look to the cross. No, but when I look to the cross, I am reminded of the man and God that hung on that cross. His name is Jesus. And when I look to the cross, it reminds me that Jesus did not stay there. See, the look helps me understand that the cross is empty. But when that cross is empty, I say, God, I'm going to seek you, a living God. You're not on the cross anymore. You're not in a grave anymore. I seek a living God. Even Jesus said that to Mary Magdalene. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He said, you're getting caught looking at the wrong thing. You're getting caught looking at the things that the world looks at. That's why I encourage you, turn off Fox News, turn on CNN, and get the good news. See, the reason we come to church 3 or 4 times a week is because this is really the only place on planet Earth that you can still get good news. And some churches are not giving good news. When you come to this place, we give you the good news. Why? Because we want to speak to your spirit. We want to speak to the eternal value that you have, not just the physical things that you're going through. I promise you, if we deal with the source, which is the spirit, every physical ailment, every physical need you will ever have will happen in your life if you will seek God first. You can look at problems, but seek God. You can see things in the physical that are not right, but when you look again, like I preached last week, when you look again and you start getting some vision, it will change everything about you. There is a difference between looking and seeking. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, this would be Jesus and his disciples, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you goest. Be careful what you declare. Verse 58, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. There is a sacrificing in seeking, which is why most people are content with looking and never encountering, experiencing, and seeking Christ. I was reading Luke chapter 9, and it's always been a favorite portion of my scripture because it is talking about sold out believers and disciples of Jesus Christ. But there is something that is spoken between 57 and verse 58 that we are not privy to and that the writer of Luke did not write. But this is what the man says. He says, Jesus, I will follow you to the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, I am there. Something happens between verse 57 and 58 that we're not privy to because Jesus' answer tells us, he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why would Jesus answer a question that was not asked? He says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Something happened there. Jesus said, I know you. I know all about you. I knew you before your mother knew you. And he said, I know what's important to you. Houses are important to you. Cars are important to you. Because with one statement, this man that was all gung-ho about following and living and being with Christ, all of that faith or so-called faith, feigned faith, was undone with one statement when he said, now listen, when you follow me, we don't get to sleep in hotels. We sleep on the dirt. When you follow me, there is no chariots, there is no wagons. We walk everywhere we go. And that man stopped in his track and said, I'm mistaken. I thought you were a king. Because he's looking instead of seeking. See, when people saw Jesus, they looked and saw a man. But people that receive Jesus, they see a man, but they seek a king. They seek that king that is represented in that man. Can I encourage you today that everything you need in life is not going to be in front of your eyes sometimes, but your eyes will put you in position so that you can seek the right things. Listen, if you came to Living Way for 100 million different reasons, that's fine. But while you're here, I just want to remind you, you are here to seek Jesus Christ because it's Jesus Christ that can save you. It's Jesus that can heal you, put your marriage back together, get your kids on the right track, and make your money not fun anymore. It's Jesus whom we seek. We don't even hear the young man's response. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He answers a question that was not asked in the text, but Jesus knew who he was dealing with. He was dealing with a looker, not a seeker. He was dealing with somebody that was that wanted to follow him for benefits and not relationship. Lookers are always looking for benefit. What's in it for me? Instead of God, when I join you, I want to make sure that your will is done on this earth and in my life. I'm a seeker. Verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60, this is Jesus talking. This isn't a seeker-sensitive message. He said, let the dead bury the dead. We're not talking about years later. We're talking about the body has not even been buried yet. And he says, are you a looker or a seeker? And this is the problem with lookers versus seekers. He said, you want to follow me. However, I'm not staying here. And by your statement, you want to follow me only when you can see me. Oh, I'm preaching now. See, lookers have to have a physical Jesus in front of them to follow. But thanks be to God, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not yet seen, yet they still believe. It takes a seeking church and a seeking believer to say, God, I've never seen you in the physical. I've never seen you walk this earth. But Lord, I know that you've walked my heart, God. I know that you go before me and come behind me. I know that you encompass me, God, with your presence, God. And with your power, he said, let the dead bury the dead, because I'm not staying here. I'm going. And if I go and you don't seek me, you're just looking for me, you'll never follow me, because you're not going to know where I'm at. Seek life. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Verse 61, another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so the second man, he says, you've got to come after me. Let the dead bury the dead. You've got to seek life. Anything that is not connected with life is going to be danger for you to look at. If you focus long enough, that's what you're going to become. That's what you're going to do. Affairs and infidelity does not just happen. It happens when a seed of lust is planted and someone looks at that lust. Come on now. That's why pornography is such a sin, because it starts the snowball rolling, and that snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger until looking at a printed magazine or looking at a computer is no longer enough. You are having to seek out physical contact and physical intimacy with somebody that you are not married to. Remember, looking will mess you up. Seeking will never mess you up, because seeking is a spiritual thing, and only people that are in tune with God spiritually seeking him are going to get the right things in their life. The second one, he said, seek life. Third man, he said, seek the kingdom. No man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, we must be kingdom-oriented people. I preached to the men just a few weeks ago that we have to understand that John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come to give life and life in abundance. The first thing Jesus came is to bring us eternity through him, which is called salvation, and we're all going to go to heaven and spend time, eternity, with him for those that have received him. But immediately, he moves on from salvation the kingdom. The day I got saved, that's over and settled. As I seek God, it's no longer about getting to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth in any way that I can, and kingdom living. If you want kingdom life to happen in you, you're going to have to change the way you look at things and start seeking after God. You say, Pastor Brennan, I've tried all of my life and I've never been able to get the job done. That's because you're seeking, you're chasing after the wrong thing. But for those God chasers in the room today that you have sacrificed to be here today, you said, Pastor Brennan, it cost me some friends. And I had to lay aside some relationships to live for God and to follow God. I'm here to tell you that's the best decision outside of salvation that you have ever made, because we're not here just existing until we get to heaven. God has called us to be kingdom people, and we cannot be kingdom people until we wake up chasing after God, until we wake up saying, I'm thirsty for the living water, until we say, I need the bread of life. We have to wake up chasing after the things of God. When we chase God, good things happen. When we chase the worldly things, bad things happen. It hurts my heart to see parents choose sports for their children over the kingdom of God. It hurts my heart to see grown men and women that are long past the 18 and 20 years of age. It hurts me to see them take a third and a fourth shift and get a second job that keeps them out of the house of God. Why? Because I'm a firm believer that if you will sell out to God, if you will put God's first, if you will put his house first, that he'll put your house first. If you put his kingdom first, he'll put your life first. And you've got to understand it's a decision and a choice that you have to make for your family, not once a week, not once a lifetime, but every day. Started coaching Tyler's basketball team this year, and I've gotten multiple calls for tournaments on Sundays, and I tell them, what day is that? It's a Sunday. No thanks. Well, there's going to be great opportunity. Well, let me tell you about the opportunity I have every Sunday. I don't care what kind of opportunity that the world has for me on Sunday. I'm not looking for opportunity. I am seeking God. I'm seeking His righteousness. I'm seeking His kingdom. It doesn't matter what the world is looking at. I'll be the one guy that is seeking. Doesn't matter what the rest of Christianity wants to do. I'll be the one guy seeking. I'm not where I should be. I'm better than I used to be. But what is going to cause me to be what God has called me to be, what is going to cause my life to line up with what God promised me, is when I wake up, not talking to Pastor Mandy first, but seeking God and His throne room first. That when I have bad news, it's not going to the doctor first, it's going to Jesus and seeking Him. Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To better understand this, let's go to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all of these things, there that phrase is, all these things do the Gentiles seek. When the word Gentiles is used here, it is talking about people that do not have a relationship with God, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Messiah, and who have not followed Him and as a believer in their life. He said, all of the Gentiles seek these things, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. He said, you don't have to talk about the necessities. You don't have to talk about the lack that you have. Rather than talk about the lack, rather than talk about what you don't have, rather than talk about how you've been done wrong, rather than talk about how offended you are, he said, your Father knows every need that you have. And if you will seek Him first and His righteousness, everything that the Gentile seeks, come on now, that's a good place to praise God. Everything that the Gentile seeks, he said, will find you. All these things will be added to you. Now, hear what I'm about to say now. Doesn't say, in all these things, when you've sought the kingdom and His righteousness, and you work for them for 60 hours a week, and you make the right business deals, he said, when you seek God, these things will be added unto you. Meaning that when you start seeking God in a different way, that you're going to wake up and you're going to find some things that have been added to your life. Remember, your God does not slumber, nor does He sleep. That means when I'm out doing what God has called me to do, when I'm seeking after Him and I lay my little head for 8 hours a night on my pillow, my God is still working. And as long as I seek Him, He said, I will add things to you. Somebody say amen. Everyone seeks something. There's an old saying that says wise men still seek Jesus. That's true. It's not just looking for Jesus. Wise men seek Jesus. When you read Bible commentaries, the nativity scene that we see played out already on front lawns and in courthouse lawns, and we see the nativity and we see the shepherds and we see Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and we see all the sheep and the goats and the camels, and then we see the three wise men. It makes a great nativity. It works symmetrically. It makes sense, but that's not how it happened. It was Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, all the barnyard animals, and two or three shepherds, maybe as many as five or six shepherds, but no wise men. Wise men didn't show up until 2 years later. The Bible says that wise men entered the house where they were and blessed the child. Bible history tells us that 2 years of age, for 2 years, they did not look for Jesus. They sought Him. You call it looking when you never find. You call it seeking when you find. Wisdom is seeking until you find what you're looking for. Bono from the great band U2 said, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Bono has said a lot of great things concerning Christianity, and I think he is a Catholic himself. But you know, he re-released that song a few years later after his conversion, and now he sings, "I finally found what I'm looking for." What he was saying is, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But then he found Jesus and said, "Well, I finally found what I've been seeking for all of my life." Can I encourage you that it's not in the looking that you're going to find Jesus? It's not in the casual glance on Sunday when the preacher's preaching and the choir singing. It is going to be when you seek Jesus Monday through Saturday. It is going to be when you seek him on the mountaintop and you seek him in the valley. It is going to be when you find Jesus, not when you have a clean bill of health, but it's going to be in that valley when you